This is the day that all the prophecies that were written about in the Old Testament were fulfilled through one man, Jesus Christ. Isaiah wrote about him the most. Isaiah's name means the Lord saves. Appropriate, isn't it? The Lord saves. And so as we listen to this message this morning, everybody knows the story. It's one of the, you know, one of the ones we always know about through Scripture. But there's some things you may not know this morning. And what we may not know is how it pertains to you and me in a new way, in a different way, in a more powerful way, I hope and pray today. So we're going to begin at Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. So Jesus and his disciples reached Jericho. Later, as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And instantly, the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them, "and as soon as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it and will return it soon.'" The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside a house. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. They then brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it, and Jesus sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their coats on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut palm branches in the fields and spread them along the way. He was in the center of the procession, and the crowds all around him were shouting, "Hosanna! Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Bless the coming kingdom it to our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven." So what do we see here? We see a story which one obviously is the fulfillment of Isaiah 42, which was read earlier today. When the Messiah comes, when the servant that God chose to bring salvation, eternal life, and miraculous healings came, he opened the eyes of the blind. And the very last miracle he performs is to open the eyes of a blind man named Bartimaeus. Now, it's interesting, most of the time when you read through scriptures, you don't always see the name of a person healed. The reason we know Bartimaeus is because he followed Jesus down the road after he left that place where he used to beg for money because he was poor. He threw aside his coat and he went and followed Jesus. And we know that he went on beyond the time that we're following Jesus just into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He followed him later as an evangelist for Jesus Christ. That's why Mark knew his name. So there's one miracle that already is fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. The other thing that we see is the fact that Bartimaeus says, "Son of God," Son of David, rather. when he's shouting out, Hosanna. Hosanna means save us. Save us. In fact, we can put it in the present. Save us now. The more they yelled Hosanna, they were saying save us now. And the interesting thing is, most of the people that were there were on a pilgrimage. They were there for the Passover. So they were Jews from all over the places where they had been scattered. If you read in scripture and you remember how Moses was left Egypt with the Israelites, and remember he would always ask to go to Jerusalem. Every time you went to Pharaoh, he would say, let us go back to Jerusalem. Let us go back so we can worship God. And until he was released, or the Egyptians released them by the power of God, Moses never could get into Jerusalem. So what we see is this Passover is an opportunity for people to be reminded of the Passover that the Israelites were set free and were able then to enter back into worship with God in Jerusalem. So the reason the people had palms there that day, what's significant about that is the fact that this would also be in line with the Festival of Booths. One of the things during Passover would be where they would take palms. They would actually had to use them when they traveled through the wilderness as they were leaving Egypt. So they would use palms and other willow trees and things of that nature for protection over them. So they would remember this as they gathered palms together. They would build little booths, if you will, where they could be protected. It was to commemorate the time that they had escaped Egypt and they had been set free by God. So it's not unusual that the people that were there would have grabbed palms to wave at Jesus because they already had palms in their possession. And some of the people ran off to go get more palms. So they also, when palms were used very often as a new king, as in the Old Testament and 2 Kings, when Jehu became the king, they used palms to worship. So anytime a new king was crowned, you would take palms and wave, and the other thing would happen is people would throw down their coats, their garment, kind of make a red carpet for that new king. And so as we see in scripture this morning, we see a couple of things happening, or a few things. We see the fact that this new coat, this is brand new coat, the first thing that Jesus does is says, untie it, untie it. So the spiritual significance of that is this. How many of us are tied down by a lot of things in life? How many of us feel tied to our past? How many of us feel as though we're just stuck in the same place and we can't move forward? How many of us think that we're just stuck and this is as good as it's going to get, or we're brand new in the Christian life and we don't know whether or not God can use us? But what does Jesus say to those two disciples? He sends them on a go mission, right? He's always sending us on go get something missions, right, all the time. And he says, go get me that colt, and untie it. Set it free. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. So that's a significant example of the fact that each and every one of us have been set free by Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you don't need to be tied to anything anymore? Do you understand what I'm saying this morning about that first part of this message? That you and I, all of us, even if we're brand new in the Christian faith, even if we just found out about Jesus this morning, he says, untie that person from where they are because he's going to set the captives free. Remember, we heard in Isaiah 42, right? It said, I'm going to take people out of their prisons. The prisons very often are within our own mind, what we limit ourselves to do and be. But what does Jesus do? He's constantly setting us free from whatever's holding us back. And he can take a brand new person and just say, let me use you. Come on, I'm gonna use you. I'm going to take you. I'm going to untie you. And if you're a brand old person, he's going to say, I'm going to take you. I'm going to use you. And we're never used up for God. You're never too old to be used by God either. He just wants to untie you. Some of us are tied to too many things in the physical realm. Too many of us are tied back by the limitations that we put upon ourselves. But today is the day of untying. So if you're all tied up in emotional knots sometimes, guess what? You're being untied today. First thing that Jesus does is goes and says, go get the coat. Well, actually, prior to that, he heals a blind man, doesn't he? He says, what do you want me to do for you? And this blind man, as blind as he was, he knew who Jesus was, the Messiah, son of David, meant the Messiah. It's in Old Testament prophecies. It would be a son of David, born in Bethlehem. That's who Jesus is. and was, right? And blind man Bartimaeus, he knew who Jesus was. That's why he said, Son of David. And he's saying, have mercy on me. And what does Jesus do? He's on the way into Jerusalem, right? He's got a big day ahead, right? He knows what's going to happen on this trip because it's all prophesied in the Old Testament. Zechariah 9 tells us, he will be, your Savior is coming riding on a donkey, a colt. It's all prophesied. He knew what the day was going to be before him. So he's on his way to do something special, right? To ride in. Now he rode in on a donkey. Why? A colt. Why? Because he was a king of peace. Peace. Most of the time when people rode in on horses and stallions, if they were going to war, that's what they rode in on, these kings of old. But our king rides on a donkey, the beast of burden, the one who carries our burdens. And he's a man of peace, peace, peace. That's what he was bringing, ushering in peace for all humanity. That's why he rode in on that donkey. Man of peace. We are people of peace, are we not? As a result. So this blind man realizes it's the Messiah. And he then gets healed. Jesus stops. Oh yeah, I was going to go there. He stops right in his tracks, right? One man calls out to him, have mercy on me. What does Jesus do? He's got a crowd behind him. What does he do? Like always, he stops. Tell him to come here. All the crowd like stop short behind him. Know this. Whatever's going on in all of our lives at any given moment, no matter who we are, when you say, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, my Lord, God help me, have mercy on me, he stops everything right there and then and does what? And says, come here. Come here. The problem with some of us is we don't go in there, do we? We got our burdens, we got our problems, we got the stuff that's holding us back and holding us down, and we think, and we sometimes that, though, by the way, the garment that, you know, we see that Bartimaeus throws aside, that garment, that was an outer cloak. It was the most important piece of clothing that he wore. Most people wore tunics, and over it, they would wear a cloak. And even poor people had that. And in the Old Testament, we read, you're never to take a coat from someone that has a need. Even if they owe you money, you let them keep that so they can be protected and kept warm. But how many of us have garments over us sometimes that keep us away from God? You know, the things, because we don't want to be vulnerable with God, some of us, right? Am I saying the truth there? Of course I am. So, you know, some of us, we got this protective coating over us, right? The cloak that we hide behind, whatever it is. But look what happens to Bartimaeus. When Jesus says, come here, what does this blind man do? He throws that off, doesn't he? He lays it down. He realizes in that moment, guess what? He doesn't need protection or anything physical to take care of him ever again, because he's met the Savior of the world. He's met the Messiah who he's been waiting for. And he throws down that garment. He throws down that cloak that he used to carry and maybe hide under, because people probably abused him from time to time, because outside of the city where he was, the rich people would come by on their way to the synagogue very often. They had all their money in their pockets and they would ignore this man that would be there, but he would beg for something. But he also needed protection from whatever it was outside of himself, so he thought, until Jesus says, come here. And then he throws it down, and he goes to Jesus. He no longer needed that outer covering anymore between him and God. Listen, no matter what you got going on in your life, no matter what cloak you wear that you try to disguise yourself under, or some of the labels that we sometimes have behind us or we hide behind, or maybe the guilt or the shame or the hurt or the pain that some of us have gone through, or the inability to get close to somebody else, especially God, very often we hide behind things, don't we? Well, guess what? Today's the day to throw them down. It's time to, we're going to have a, you know, a throw it away party. Are you good with me on that this morning? Because two things were happening. They were waving palms, and that's all wonderful. They're praising God because that's what was transpiring. They said, oh, here comes the Messiah. He's going to save us from the Roman government. So they thought he was actually coming to save them from themselves and save them from eternal damnation. He was also going to save them from anything in their life that bothered them or hurt them or harmed them. He was going to give them new life because he knew he was heading into Jerusalem to save their very souls. Is your soul not more important than anything that you have? Of course it is. That's why it took his very life to give up for your soul, my soul, all of ours. So Bartimaeus was the first to throw down the garment that he follows Jesus. And then we see the people along the way, the disciples take off their cloaks. And so part of what they're doing is they're giving to Jesus their life. When you throw down coats in front of a king of some type, or you put out that, you know, you take your garments down and throw them down so that the king can walk on them or ride on them in this particular case, you're being submissive and honorary to the person. But here's the other part. It's also an act of submission, is it not? When we choose to surrender our lives to Christ and to say, here's all my coat that I wear, all a part of my past, all of the things that I think protect me, all the things that keep me from other people and or God, guess what? I'm going to submit and I'm going to really just relinquish my entire self to God. And I'm going to throw down that garment, that coat, that cloak that no longer serves you or me. And so as we see as the story goes on, what transpires is the disciples put the cloaks on top of the donkey so Jesus could be comfortable to ride on it, right? But it's also their personal sacrifice to him, wasn't it? And so he rides into Jerusalem, and the people begin to throw their garments down on the ground as he walked, as that donkey took him into Jerusalem. And more people. Now, I wonder about this. You got a whole crowd of people, right? How many of them do you think threw down the garments? Did all of them? Some of them? Many of them? A few of them? See, the question is, we don't know what happened with them, but we're going to know what's going to happen with you, right? Today's the day that not only are we going to wave our palms and praise God because he did set us free, he did save us, he saved us from so many things already throughout our lives, right? But he's especially going to say, let me just take your entire life, offer it over to me, and let me take it and make of it what I want to make it. Which means it's a word that most of us don't like. Submission or surrender. But it's the greatest thing you could ever do to change your life, permanently speaking, in a spiritual, emotional, physical, and beyond your life journey that you could ever imagine. But some of us who are self-reliant and self-sufficient, we say, well, you know, yeah, that's good. I like that idea. I'm glad Bartimaeus did it. You know, it changed his life after all. But you want me to lay down my fears, my worries, my concerns, my control, my need to control, my I better control or else, or only I can do it attitude? You want me to just surrender everything to him and then go follow him down the road? Yeah, we do. Yes. Because that will change your life in magnificent, awesome ways that you can't even imagine. So I guess the questions I have for you this morning are this, considering we have a few things that happened that particular day, right? We always think it's about people cutting palms down and waving them. See, I think it's more important to throw your cloaks down because then you make your life a praise to God. You make the way you love others your praise to God. The way you serve God is the way that you worship God. We see the infinite and awesome sacrifice that Jesus made. He didn't go partway. He didn't go halfway. He didn't go 99% of the way to serve God and to save us. He gave 100% of himself. not to save him, but to save us. So if he gave 100% of his self, what do you think the amount ought to be that we give? Well, if you want to use the tithing method, it would be 10% of your life. But if you want to use the true sacrificial method that Jesus gave and give back equally, you think of it this way. He gave all of his life so you could live all of your life to the fullest, abundantly, to have no fears, no guilt, no shame, no worries. When we say, Jesus, save us, okay, do we really mean it? In order to be saved, we don't just wave as he goes by. We have to be more like the Bartimaeuses of our Christian walk. And we need to yell out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Save me from myself. I'm blind to who I truly am in you. I sometimes think I can't make it because I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I don't have it all together enough. I'm not y'all wise enough. I'm not good enough. Did I already say that one? And what does Jesus say? Come here. Come here. Take all those labels that you wear on your coat that keep you from having good relationships with one another. Your fear of loss, your fear of being hurt, all those things that we sometimes say because people hurt us in our past. You need to be untied from all those things that you keep inside your mind this morning. You need to lay them down this morning. And I'm not saying, you know, like, how do you get rid of, like, part of a coat? You tear off an arm, right? I'll give you, here, have this part. Today's the day, instead of just waving palms, which I think is beautiful. But listen, if you're not living your life to the fullest, how do you possibly praise God all the time? If you're not complete in the spiritual realm of your just being content with who you are, and if you're not living in the present moment and or following Christ daily to be used by him like that donkey or by the donkey owner, it's only half a praise, isn't it? Because here's how I look at it. If I say, Jesus, save me, and I wave as he goes by, whoops, I wave as he goes by, am I really saved in that moment? I'm still stuck where I am, aren't I? Let me ask it this way. What is it in your life that is tying you back from who you could really be in Christ? How are you tied to anything of the past? Perhaps the mistakes you might have made? What could have been? What should have been, whatever the case might be. We're not born and saved by Christ to live a life of regret. We're born to be great. We're born to be used by God in magnificent, awesome, wonderful ways. And who's supposed to be living that life to the fullest? Some of you. A few of you, a couple of you, one of you, only me, I'm going to do it regardless of what you do. How about all of you? As the story ends, Jesus goes into the temple and he looks around and he says, this is my house of prayer. And then he goes back to Bethany. He came in for a specific purpose that day. It's what we call a triumphal entry. And you know, sometimes we expect God to give us triumph over life in certain ways, don't we? We tell God exactly, because this is what happened to those Israelites, those Jews that were there in Jerusalem that day. They thought Jesus was coming to set the people free from Roman Empire, from oppression, and all their suffering. But see, he came to suffer. He came to die. Not to establish an earthly kingdom, but to establish a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, and to bring people into that magnificent, awesome kingdom. Who's he inviting in? Everybody, including whom? All right. So now that you know what's going to happen now. You're going to have to give up and lay down your burdens. You're going to have to give up and lay down your garments and pick up garments of praise, which would be the psalm and palms. Are you ready this morning to live your life to the fullest? Are you really ready? So that means, for those of you that have excuses as to why you can't lay it down, that's the garment you're wearing is the excuse. So take your excuse and lay it down. Take your reasons why you can't do something for God or with God, why you can't be healed or whatever the case might be that you hold on to, why you perhaps can't be forgiven or why you can't forgive others. Today is the day that you lay it down. And after you lay it down, whatever, that whole entire garment, are you ready to do it now? And those that are watching, I can see what you're doing. And are you ready? Really, really, really ready? What is Jesus saying to you? Come here. What do you have to do first? Lay your garment down. Lay the cloak down. So if you have, you can stand up. And if you need help, we'll just stop everything. And I can be here as long as it takes. Because who's got the power to be changed? Who has it? Who has it? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be untied? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be new? Do you want to be resurrected, if you will, into a new life? Are you ready this morning? Do you need help getting up? Do you need us to come out there and pull off your garments off of you? So just about every person in Jerusalem that day was there for a different reason. Jesus was there for one, to ride in and bring peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind. Peace for eternity. The interesting thing about the date of his coming in to Jerusalem that day, it was Nisan 10. The same day those Israelites or the Jews were there to choose their Paschal lamb. That's part of the reason they were there, to go to the marketplace. But guess who rode in that day, on that specific day? Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. You see all how the significance of how all the scriptures pull together? So we see that the disciples went ahead, put the garments down. Bartimaeus threw his life down. The people said, "Save us." And Jesus said while he was riding in, "That's exactly what I'm going to do. Come follow me." And if anybody along the way needed anything on that journey into Jerusalem, he would have stopped that donkey right then and there and said, "Come here. Come follow me. I need you. I need you to share love into this world. And I'm untying you. I'm setting you free so you can live a life that you never knew before as one of my followers." What a glorious day that was. It was a total surprising thing to all those people. That's not what they were expecting. They expected that Jesus would come and become king, and that that would be the end, and life would be perfect after that. It's not what Jesus had in mind. So just be wary of this once in a while. The way God shows up in your life may just surprise you. It's going to be the least, most unlikely, unexpected way, but always the best way possible. And now that you're free from those garments that you used to wear, as soon as you hear this Holy Spirit speak to you and call you and say, I want to use you for greater goodness and to share the good news that you've been saved, you no longer have to say, yeah, but I'm stuck here. We become the people who praise God through our lives. And the best way you praise God through your life is living it to the fullest. Amen?